This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Hello again, everybody. This is Wells Tech, a show about technology and ministry. We're all the way up to episode 528, and we're recording this on December 19th, 2017. My name is Martin Spriggs, and joining me as usual in this holiday season, this Christmas time of year, Sally Draper. You feeling the spirit, Sally?
I am, Martin. I can't believe we've made it to Christmas week already on Wells Tech, and it is an exciting time, and we're waiting for it to feel like Christmas. It was 45 degrees here in New Ulm yesterday. That's like springtime weather, you know? So I think we're going to get a taste of it, though, and our high on Christmas Day is predicted to be about 7 degrees. So
I saw an extended forecast for my neck of the woods, I think next Tuesday, basically a week from today, high. -4.
Oh, fun. You were hoping for winter to get here, huh?
Yes, yes, yes. Good that we've got HVAC working properly in the building. So
definitely. Yeah.
This is an abbreviated show, kind of our Christmas show. We keep things a little bit shorter, and I don't know if we've done this every year, almost. Certainly the ones that I remember, where we try and find a, what's the right term? Who do we try and find?
A leader with a lot of,
that's the word I was using for, looking for, of some sort, who has something to say about ministry and Christmas, and potentially is kind of new in the position. Very often at the CMM, but it hasn't always been that way. But we are fortunate to have our choice of a few people this year. We've had some new faces in the building recently, and we had a chance to ask Don Doberstein, our new administrator or director of discipleship. That position has been open for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And now they're bringing together the adult discipleship and youth discipleship or youth and family positions into his. So we thought it would be good to pick his brain a little bit about ministry, what his position now entails, his thoughts on technology and the future. So had a great interview. We pre-recorded that. So let's listen to that interview now with Don Doberstein. Very happy to have joining us Pastor Don Doberstein, the newest director here at CMM, Director of Discipleship. Is that correct, Don?
Correct, okay. Correct.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself, what you do here, background, hobbies, short life story, whatever you'd like to share.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure.
I actually grew up the son of a Lutheran pastor in... I suppose people who are familiar with the Midwest would say is the larger church settings, New Ulm, Minnesota, and growing up in the culture where from kindergarten all the way through seminary, mm-hmm. I had that Lutheran educational background.
Right.
And when I graduated in 1995, that's when my ministry kind of abroad started. So in 1995, I was assigned to a Lutheran parish in Topeka, Kansas. Okay. In the year 2000, then accepted a call down to Central Florida, the Atlantic Ocean side, Daytona Beach area, okay. A place called Port Orange. Accompanying me was, I have four children, but one wife. So my family has grown up in a ministry culture that very much was in a mission field, ripe for the harvest. Mm-hmm. And so we were very used to kind of a ministry that was very busy with outreach activities. Mm-hmm. And of course, being in Florida meant the hobbies that go with living in Florida meant, boating. It's got to be enjoy boating, Barrier Reef Islands, being able to put some toes in the sand, the occasional round of golf. Okay.
Well, you're gonna have to settle for Lake Michigan at this point.
And looking at it.
That's right. That's right. Talk a little bit about your experiences with adult discipleship, youth and family ministry in your ministries. That's your responsibilities now, but what kind of connections did you have, you know, in the parish?
It really began small, and then just watching God's amazing hand of blessings upon it. Mm-hmm. So at Port Orange, we identified a need within our communities for quality interaction with children. Mm-hmm. And so getting together young moms with their children in an environment that they could enjoy each other's company, but then also to do the sing with them, pray with them. And so we started a Mom's Morning Out program. Okay. It led to mothers of the community asking, what more do you have for us? Mm-hmm. That's when we began to look at preschool. So we began a preschool ministry, and I remember humble beginnings in a double wide trailer. And from there, God blessed it. It led to the point where we were offering quality childcare that the community needed. So an infant, ones, twos, threes, and four-year-olds, well over 125 children, mm-hmm. that we were able to provide the love of Christ, but then also use it as an outreach arm.
Right.
For being able to share the gospel with families.
Sure.
Very good. Well, stepping into the role of administrator of discipleship, youth and family focus, that kind of thing, tell us about what your primary goals are for this first year.
That's a...
What's going to...
Good question. I feel like right now I'm taking a jigsaw puzzle box, opening it up and dumping out the pieces, and every time you shake a little harder, more pieces keep coming out. discipleship is so wide, so varied. It's all encompassing of the Christian life. And so being able to set priorities and look at the broad spectrum of all the different age groups that our congregations need help in discipling. In addition, one of the priorities is creating an online resource center, mm-hmm. for discipleship materials for called workers and congregations, mm-hmm. To be able to access quality resources that they can use both on the congregational level, but then also on the family level for parents to be able to share with their children too, right. Because they are the chief teachers, mm-hmm. of their children.
Mm-hmm. So is it you just sitting down at your computer creating all these resources, or what kind of resources do you have at your disposal to create these things?
The first one would probably be just the human factor, mm-hmm. To be able to collaborate and partner with other areas of ministry. And so for the first weeks of being here, being able to meet with home missions and world missions,
right.
and seeing the possibilities for the future, mm-hmm. the partnering that we can do in conjunction with evangelism and worship,
right.
and compassion ministries. And then being able to identify, okay, what are the resources that we can provide? That's going to be probably our number one priority.
Sure.
Is now that we know these are the resources that are going to be needed, we're going to start pulling those together and making available.
Okay. This is a technology podcast, so we want to make sure we ask some hard-hitting technology questions. One of those that comes to my mind when you're dealing with, let's say, family ministry is, how do you think technology has maybe threatened the family? You think about, you know, everybody, you know, sitting with their devices at the dinner table or at the restaurant. We talk about social media, smartphones. Have you seen that? What's your impression of what technology has done to the family unit and those kinds of things?
I can speak as a father with four children. My wife and I, we held out as long as possible. With the smartphones until it became apparent the practical usage of them. But it is interesting how we look at smartphones from a practical aspect. My children sometimes don't. They're looking at it from a cultural aspect.
Right.
And so because of that, I see them they truly are the first generation that will have lived life never apart from such technology or with smartphones.
Right.
So it has invaded our homes. I suppose a concern with to the family would be you sometimes wonder if the voices of parents become diminished as their voices begin to vie with other voices that are trying to shape and mold my children's view more to secular voices as opposed to our Christian worldview. So that would be my number one concern is the diminishing aspect of that. I suppose the other aspect of it is simply, the quality time that we spend looking down as opposed to face to face with each other. So it makes it so much easier to talk about people, but being able to talk to people.
Right. I would think especially if your primary focus is discipleship, you know, and creating those relationships through the Word of God and what the Bible has for us there's competition. So you feel that technology is a tool. Your kids feel that it is kind of part of the fabric of their culture, right? The experience of living, right? That's if it were taken away, that would be a piece missing of their. Of their life.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I'll play the good cop this time and ask about the positive side of things, because I think there are definitely positive outcroppings from the use of technology for youth and family ministry. Have you given any thought to that side of the question?
I see technology, especially with discipleship, being used for accessibility. If technology and smartphones are simply the messenger for the message of God's word, the possibilities are endless for that. I also believe the accessibility of it, the online learning that can take place with discipleship. So I envision there could be a congregational leader or called worker, or the leaders of the family. Finally, after a busy day, they all get home, and supper is made, and they're settling in for the night. What if there's a resource or an online group in which, in the comfort of their homes, they can be wearing their pajamas, but what if they were able to have an evening devotion together, either with fellow members of their congregation or with a group that could be spread across the nation to be able to grow in faith. So definitely the accessibility of it. I also believe online resources that are made for the congregation and the family that can be accessed. Mm-hmm. For example, there's a congregation, they heard of a school of worship or a school of outreach, but they couldn't get to it.
Right.
Now do they have to wait for a couple of years before another one rolls into town?
Sure.
What if a congregational team could access these materials online and then at their own pace be able to seize the opportunities and be able to go through the materials and apply it immediately to their congregational setting?
Right. I suppose another advantage of technology for you personally in your position is just the ability to network or collaborate more effectively with not just people in this building and the other directors within congregational services, but within resources across the synod, right?
Absolutely. To identify resources that have already been created, to bring them in together and then to be able to share them.
Make them available.
Correct.
Right. Great. Don, thanks so much for your time. Blessings on your new ministry. I'm excited for you. You better get your winter coat pretty soon because they'll be out of the stores very quickly, you'll find.
I'm going to borrow yours.
All right. We're about the same size. So. Thank you, Don. Blessings.
Thank you, Don, for taking the time. And probably just fresh on the job. He's got a lot of things going around in his brain about potential things that could that could be put on his plate, and ultimately we threw him some technology questions in the mix, and it was good to at least get a few of his thoughts, and it was really gracious of him to join us.
Definitely. Exciting to see all the things on the horizon for the area of discipleship. And we'll look forward to hearing more from him perhaps in 2018 as some of his new ideas get implemented.
That Congregational Services website is really an exciting thing. We've been working with John Hine, who we've interviewed recently as well, and he's kind of leading the charge. But the star of that show is really the content that people like Don and others are pulling together to help congregations and our schools to take advantage of the great resources out there. So we'll be looking for more good things in the future. Thanks again, Don. With the abbreviated show, we do no picks. We do no news in tech. We do no Wells Now, but we always do community feedback. And we do have a little bit to share this week.
Good thing we do community feedback, because some of this is really timely, including a link to the site Productive Flourishing, productiveflourishing.com. Pastor Peter Hagen from Fairmont, Minnesota, shared this site with us and said, if your brain is as scattered as mine tends to be, these free downloads, which are fillable PDFs, paper or digital format, might help. And he basically gave it about as glowing of a review as possible. He says in some of his comments he may be a little late because we just did 2 weeks of discussion on planning and tracking things to do and stuff. But he says these resources are fantastic. And I did a little checking on Productive Flourishing. They have a lot of free downloads. It's really neat to see. So their core offering is something they titled a Momentum Planning Planner Series, and they put it out on a monthly basis for free download, but you can actually buy the entire year of 2018 in a bundle if you're interested in that. I think the price is like $12 to $15, so that's what Pastor Hagen recommends. Just to give you a little feel of what it's like, they have monthly pages where you can look at each week of the month. You can look at some of your quarterly objectives and monthly objectives and, you know, some of the important scheduled things that are happening in the month, that kind of thing. So if you want to just live kind of on a monthly basis as you're, you know, planning forward or things like that, these might be good pages to use. They have weekly pages, so one single page. It's designed for like an 8.5 by 11 print. Has monthly objectives on it, again, scheduled events and projects and things, but then it has an area for each day's events and priorities and time and things like that. So if you want to work on a weekly basis, or they also have a daily format where you can block out each part of your day, your time schedule, write notes about tasks and things, projects to do on that day, whatever it is. So you can take these, you can print them, print your own planner if you want, or you can use them in a digital tool, like lay these out in a OneNote, for instance, and use a stylus or something on your device to write on the pages. Or you could just model your own bullet journal type design or any kind of notebook or planner that you want to use to incorporate some of these ideas of how you can manage your own task and things. And as if the Momentum Planner weren't enough, they have a lot of other downloads. I have a couple that I looked at, a weekly block scheduler where you can see your entire week and meetings and things you have scheduled for the week. And then one called a Daily Habit Tracker, which is a month-long place to indicate to yourself if you've practiced a particular habit you want to adopt. So you have room to write down 5 different habits and then check off yes or no whether you did each of those habits on each of the days of the month. So again, just some really good ideas to incorporate into your own planning process or to download for free from their site. And as if that weren't enough, Pastor Hagen also shared a link to 4 handy planners for freelance writers who want to get organized, a different blog article where they mentioned the Productive Flourishing blog, but also some others as well. So if you don't find exactly what you're looking there on the Productive Flourishing blog with their Momentum Planner, then you can look at that other article and you might find some good examples as well. So lots of great stuff there. Really appreciate your feedback, Pastor Hagen.
Nice. They look well done.
Yeah,
even if they
sure.
are paper based.
Yeah.
I'll give them that.
One more community feedback.
Yeah, I got a DM. That's a Twitter lingo for direct message from Kent Reeder, and Kent says in. I can't say 128 characters or less anymore. It's more than that. So he basically says he uses Trello or Illumin Church. His church uses Trello constantly. Love it! Exclamation point. Illumin Church, believe South Carolina. Yeah, Rock Hill, South mm-hmm. Carolina. I know it's yeah. Stomping grounds. Actually, it's a little bit more upstate. But they apparently take great pride in their use of Trello and find it extremely valuable. It's not surprising to me or Sally, I'm sure. So thanks for sharing that, Kent. If you've got any tips or tricks, please pass those along to the kids as well so that we can take advantage of those as well. Because we're big fans of Trello, obviously, and a great organization and planning tool.
Yep. I took a look at Illumin Lutheran out in Rock Hill, South Carolina, dug a little deeper. Inquiring minds want to know. They have a really awesome website. So kudos to you, Pastor Reeder, for the vision behind the website. I'm sure that a lot of work has gone into that. When you go there, they actually have a special page right now just for Christmas with all their Christmas activities featured. And I thought it was kind of intriguing. They have a link that says Our Gift to You. And when I opened that, it was a PDF document that they've titled their Christmas Toolkit. It says it has tips and ideas to help people celebrate and proclaim the Savior's birth at Christmas time. And just some great Bible passages included, keeping Christ in Christmas. And then they have things around the nativity scene, and they've geared it toward younger children, older children, for everyone activities. Just building up Christmas as you decorate, focusing on the Christ child, and then things to do on Christmas Eve with younger children, older children, and on Christmas morning, again, for everyone, for younger children, for older children. So lots of great ideas there if you're looking for music or movie ideas or whatever it may be. And they've even included the Luke 2 passage of the Christmas story. So great resource they put together there. I thought that was worth sharing with our Wells Tech audience as well.
Yeah, not a difficult thing to put together. Super useful, well done, nicely formatted. I think a lot of great ideas in there. So thanks for the nice find, Sally. And thanks for calling that to our attention, and thanks for the DM, Kent. We should probably finish up the show this week with our video, or in the case of episode 528 here, videos of the week.
That's right. A little bonus content for Christmas week. We have a video from President Mark Schrader with a Christmas message for all us out here in Wells Land. And in addition, we have a lovely music video from the Martin Luther College College Choir. They're singing All Praise to the Eternal God. So not one, but two great videos to watch on Wells Tech this week over at Wells Tech.
Stuff
at Wells.net.
Yes. Well, that brings us to the end of this show. You could contribute in a similar fashion to the way Pastor Hagen or Reeder did by connecting with us through our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. And you can leave a comment on any of the episodes there. That's an easy thing to do. You can also use one of the social networks that we frequent. And they're all there, so you'd be hard-pressed to find one that we don't have some kind of presence on. And also, you can leave us a good old-fashioned email, wellstech@wells.net. One of our favorite pieces of the show is community feedback, so if you are so inclined, just want to give us a shout-out or something that you found particularly useful or a question that you have that opportunity. Sally, I'm kind of excited about next week's show. We usually dedicate the last show of the week to the best of the year, so the best of 2017. We're going to be talking about the best picks that we had over the course of the year, the best ministry resource, the best events, the best interviews, Of course, we'll have another video to share, and I'm excited about this. We get to do our top five list, so stay tuned for that next week and see how we did over the course of the year.
It's a little preview. It's going to be good, folks. It's been a good year. So.
It has been a very good year. So come back and visit us on show 529. Thanks for coming this week and tuning in. We really appreciate the time you spend with us, and we will see you next week. Merry Christmas.